And on the sidelines, supporters of the new president cheered, and demonstrators unhappy with the outcome of the election chanted. We have a series of reports on the day in Washington and demonstrations around the country, starting with NPR's Eric Westervelt in the nation's capital.
In late afternoon, along the soggy parade route, a Pennsylvania man stood silent and smiling. He held aloft a large sign he hoped the presidential motorcade would see. The man, who gave his name only as John, says George W. Bush's swearing-in means a return to morality and leadership in the Oval Office.
Says W1, welcome back to the White House, the Bush family, and dignity.
You think it's going to restore dignity here?
Absolutely. The guys of today at 11:30 it did.
All day, Republican well-wishers and tourists lined Pennsylvania Avenue to try to catch a glimpse of the new president and create a festive atmosphere amidst a steady cold drizzle. A local disc jockey and aging pop star acted as parade hosts.
Once again, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm WGOP's Man About Town, Bob Madigan, along with Meatloaf and Sergeant John Leonard, and you're our block party.
But an estimated 15,000 protesters crashed the GOP block party. It was the largest inaugural protest since Richard Nixon's second inaugural in 1973 during the Vietnam War.
Hail to the thief! Hail to the thief!
Some held signs which read, Impeach the Supreme Court and Hail to the Thief. In many spots, protesters matched or outnumbered Bush supporters along Pennsylvania Avenue as the heavily guarded presidential motorcade lurched by. Protester Carolyn Gray is from Palm Beach County, Florida, home of the infamous butterfly ballot.
The sign says President-elect Bush is illegitimable. That's the way he would say illegitimate.
Many protesters said a prime motivator was lingering anger over voting irregularities in Florida and the Supreme Court decision halting the recount. Abraham is a 30-year-old African-American and computer technician from Baltimore. An hour after George W. Bush had put his hand on the Bible, Abraham said Bush was not his president.
He did lose the popular vote. It's enough evidence to suggest that he lost the electoral vote also. I don't think we had a fair election. I think the election was stolen. I think every American should be angry because this is about our rights, for each person's vote to matter.
Others, however, admitted they would have come out to heckle the president no matter who won. 33-year-old Daniela Garofalo lives in Maryland.
There really was no choice. I mean, we had a choice between Gore and Bush, which is essentially the choice between the same kinds of candidates supported by the same corporations. And if you look at the kind of money these two candidates have received, they get the same money from the same companies. I mean, this really, for us, signifies that we have no real choice. There is no democracy.
The day saw the tightest security ever for an inaugural. As police combed through his bags, a man who went by the name Vermin Supreme used his megaphone to decry the checkpoints posted all along the parade route.
I do not consent to a search. This is an unconstitutional, unwarranted search. I am being searched against my will.
Many Bush loyalists, meantime, remained undaunted by the demonstrators. Pat Havener blamed the young protesters, along with the weather, for the smattering of empty bleachers where Bush supporters were supposed to sit.
So much protest that the people are afraid to bring their families down here. They're not going to intimidate me. I'm going to come down. I'm proud of this man. Yep. And I'm proud of my country. Feel proud to be an American.
Havener added, I like the protest kids. It's cold out and they're getting my blood boiling with all their slogans. D.C. Metro police briefly scuffled with protesters, and a few protesters hurled bottles and tomatoes before the presidential motorcade arrived. But the day was mostly calm, with only half a dozen arrests. Republican Bob Camp traveled to the inaugural from Idaho. For him, the largely peaceful protests only strengthened his faith in the U.S. system.
We had demonstrators here today that didn't like the election. Any other country, they probably would have been taken off and shot. But here, they can voice their opinions, so it's a great country.
Dan Stapula from Lorton, Virginia, was here more for the history than to make a statement. He stood in the rain for hours with his family. Stapula says he wanted to bring his young daughters to something his father used to bring him to.
I have pictures in our living room of me on my dad's shoulders. And I thought it was a nice historic occasion to bring the kids out to, and that they'd really remember it more if they were actually here as opposed to watching it on TV.
Virginia middle school student Lisa Horning gazed down Pennsylvania Avenue. She said her class had been studying the presidency all year.
It's amazing that all these people gather here to see one person, and I really admire that.
Lisa and her classmates had a prime spot along the parade route. Then police advised them to move away in case they had to use tear gas or force against nearby demonstrators. The protests didn't get out of hand, Class continued its real-life First Amendment and civics class from a spot on the other side of the street. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Washington.
This is Debbie Elliott in Tallahassee, Florida.
Walking for our freedom!
Climbing, climbing up!
Civil rights and labor leaders led more than 1,000 marchers through downtown for a noontime rally at the courtyard of the state capitol, the site of similar protests during the prolonged election dispute here.
So much corruption in the land, the people take a stand.
The protesters were bussed in from all over. There were voters from Miami and Broward counties and groups from Atlanta and Birmingham. Speaker after speaker decried what they labeled as a stolen election, where thousands of voters, mostly African Americans, were disenfranchised. NAACP President Kwaezi Mfume said, while the eyes of the nation are on Washington and the inauguration, demonstrators came back to Florida to say never again.
The contrast harkens our attention to the need for a nationwide uniform system of casting ballots and counting ballots that's the same no matter what state you're in, no matter what you might look like, no matter what the election is.
There was a lingering bitterness over the U.S. Supreme Court stopping the recount in Florida. Several speakers referred to how the president was selected and not elected. Gwen Hubbard, an African-American woman from Madison, Florida, was one of the protesters. She called the election an injustice.
As long as we can remember, as long as we've been children, we've always been told that people have given their lives for the right to vote. And now here we are, we're adults and we have children of our own, and we're having to tell them, you still got to fight for the right to vote.
Debbie Elliott, NPR News, Tallahassee.
I'm David Shaper in Chicago. We're the only people in the wide expanse of the Daily Center Plaza downtown before a planned demonstration Saturday afternoon were a couple of teenage boys doing tricks on their skateboards. Then a small group of women marked off an area in front of the famed Picasso statue for a stage and then donned wigs, robes, and other costumes. They brought with them a handful of friends and family members who braved 20-degree temperatures and a wind chill below zero to watch a short dramatization that they called Death of a Democracy.
We are solemnly gathered here today to bear witness to the coronation of the first president-select of the United States of America. Hail to the thief!
The play went on to mock the way in which George W. Bush won the presidency, as one of the women put on a George W. Bush mask, while another, depicting his brother, Florida Governor Jeb Bush, crowned him president.
This gift I give you from the people of Florida, willing or not.
The actors then attached puppet strings to the President Bush character, strings that were controlled by princes who represented military, corporate, and media interests. The dramatization drew little interest from onlookers and Saturday afternoon shoppers. Some stopped briefly to watch, but their eyes were just as drawn to the tricks performed by the skateboarders before they hurried along their way to get inside the warmth of nearby State Street department stores. For NPR News, I'm David Shaper in Chicago.
This is Mandalit del Barco in Los Angeles, where thousands of demonstrators rallied and marched through the downtown streets. In the blazing heat, the multicultural protesters wore sunglasses. They shouted anti-Bush slogans and carried handmade signs that read, "Hail to the thief" and "The Grinch that stole the election." The issues they raised ranged from the death penalty to abortion rights, racism, and the environment. California Congresswoman Maxine Waters revved up the crowd.
You'd better enjoy your party while you can, because it's going to be short-lived, George W. You cannot maintain that office. You don't deserve it. You didn't earn it. We didn't vote for you, and you can't have it.
Despite the energy crisis in California, Waters and other protesters say there's still plenty of power here, power of the people. Mandalit del Barco, NPR News, Los Angeles.